This is an interview with Dr. Geraint Morgan of the Open University. For the full show, go to geordcast.net.
We have just received a large strategic translation award from the Wellcome Trust. That allows us to translate our space technology to the rapid diagnostics of TB, in particular for the third world. So some of the engineering problems we have for developing technology to go out into, say, Africa is the same as what we have for, for the going to do planetary studies. Say, for instance, the Beagle 2 Mars mission and also the Rosetta Comet Chaser.
So the similar technology that you designed to go and explore nearby space, certainly low Earth orbit and also Mars, other worlds, you're using to solve the tuberculosis problem in places like Africa.
That's right, yeah. TB is actually a very nasty disease. TB and HIV together is the biggest killer in Africa. About one in three people in the world actually have TB, or are believed to have latent TB. But because your immune system is quite strong, it means that you don't actually notice you've got it. It's when your immune system becomes compromised, then the TB takes over. And something like 8 or 9 million new cases per year of TB, and approximately 2 million people a year die from TB.
So what are the connections between space technology and the technology you use to fight tuberculosis in places like Africa?
Well, basically what we've developed for the space missions are miniaturized mass spectrometers. And mass spectrometers are kind of the gold standard analytical piece of kit used in most laboratories. The difficulty with these commercial systems are they're very much, they're quite large, they're quite power hungry, and they're relatively expensive. So they're not really designed to go out into the field. They're designed to be used in laboratories. What we've done, of course, for the space missions is strip out a lot of the bells and the whistles and make a very, very simple device, because of course the limitations on space missions are power, mass, budget and volume, all the kind of things that you have to worry about. So we've tried to miniaturize the systems and effectively make the systems as simple as possible.
Presumably you also want to make them as robust as possible too, so they can be used in the field.
Absolutely, yes. And so, you know, if you can build something that can survive a rocket launch, then you should build as well something that can go in the back of a Land Rover or wherever else these people need to take the samples. So again, one of the things we're trying to do here is actually take the laboratory to the people, as opposed to currently where, you know, the samples are sent away or the person has to go to the laboratory. So it just makes the technology much more widely available, hopefully. And the funding we have at present is actually to prove the actual prove the technology, really, and to show that we can do as well as, or more realistically, hopefully better than the current technologies available at present. So we'll have very good sensitivity, and the main thing is the speed of analysis. So the quicker you can diagnose someone, the quicker you can start treating them, and that of course means the less chance they have of spreading the actual disease to their friends and families.
So we've come a long way from the mass spectrometers on the Viking probes on Mars. And what would these pieces of equipment look like? I mean, how big are they? How easy are they transported?
Okay, well, the Rosetta system is basically the same size as a shoebox. It literally is the size of a shoebox, and in fact, you can see a picture of it here. But it weighs about 4 kilograms, so the same as 4 bags of sugar, and it uses about 30 watts of power, so you know, half the light bulb. So again, everything is optimized to try and give you that kind of low mass and low power system, but also making it still robust enough to survive the rigors of launch and everything else. The system we're building for Africa, the drivers are different, the design drivers are different. We don't actually have the need to make it so small, as long as it's portable. And the system actually we're building at present will fit inside something like a camera case, so the size of a briefcase, really. So it can be transported by an individual. The power requirements, the design we're doing for Africa at present is actually a mains-powered system, but it could quite easily run off 24 volts, so we could quite easily plug it into a battery or a small generator, if necessary.
So how soon will the technology be available for rollout, as it were, into Africa sites?
Okay, well, the project actually is a 2-year funding for the project. The first 12 months is actually building the boxes and actually getting things like CE approval so it can be sent out to be used. In parallel, we're also doing the development of the chemistry to optimize that, to make sure that's robust. But in 12 months' time, we'll have a box, or several boxes, that will go out to our clinical partner in Africa, to Harare in Zimbabwe, and she'll then spend 12 months doing a proper performance evaluation trial to actually compare the level of performance with the current technologies that are currently available. So that'll be a double-blind test. We'll support it, but the tests will be done by our clinical partners, and they will obviously decide if it actually is any better than what we currently have.
And the space probe that this technology has been developed for is the Rosetta program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The Rosetta project is actually one of Europe's last really big missions, Horizon Cornerstone mission. It launched in 2004 on the 2nd of March. We're off to chase a comet. We're currently on the way back from Mars. And we actually switched our machine on last weekend for the first time for a while. And everything's working fine, which is good news. But we hope to get to the comet in around about March 2014. In November 2014, we actually hope to land on the comet. Our instrument will then be one of a suite of instruments which will actually analyse what the comet's made from. The scientific rationale is to actually analyse the water and the isotopic composition of the water to try and work out if water on Earth has come from a cometary impact early on in the Earth's history. In addition to that, it's also looked to see if the building blocks of life are present on a comet and whether or not they could have been brought to Earth again early on in the Earth's history.
And the project for using the same technology in Africa to hunt and combat tuberculosis, what's the project called?
Well, the project actually has a really long title, but the short title I use is Down to Earth, really because it's the translation of our spaceflight technology. The project is actually funded by the Wellcome Trust, and we have several partners in the project. The London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine are the people who know about TB and how to handle TB. They're our clinical partners. But we also have Cranfield University, who are supplying us with some of the software for the pattern recognition work as well. Again, what we're trying to do with the system is make it as simple as possible for the operator to do. We're trying to take the skill of the operator out of the analysis process. So the instrument and the sample preparation is as simple as possible. The person will then press a button, and the machine will decide whether or not there is a TB present or not. So again, we're trying to de-skill the operator and make it make the throughput for samples as high as possible.
Because this is a big thing with space projects at the moment, they're becoming more and more autonomous. They're able to act by themselves. Presumably, this has got similar kind of theme behind it. If you make the equipment as simple as possible, then the required control can be similarly simple.
Absolutely. So yes, we've designed our own electronics. We designed our own software to run the instrument. And as you say, you know, when we run the instrument on Rosetta at present, the actual script that's been running for the last weekend was actually sent up 3 or 4 months ago, because of course it has to go from us to Germany, from Germany to Australia, and Australia then beam it up, and to the spacecraft. So yes, space missions definitely are designed to run autonomously, and we're obviously translating that kind of knowledge background to this kind of system where the instrument itself will basically run itself.
And what other projects are there that have this crossover between, well, the apparently disparate fields of biology and pathology and space?
Well, there are several, actually. I'm actually working on with other people on looking at things like the use of breath for medical diagnostics, so you can actually look at compounds in the breath to use that as specific markers of the disease. We're also doing work with a group down in Amersham about, in fact, a group from Manchester University. There's a consortium being put together to try and look at whether or not we can have a non-invasive test for bladder cancer just by basically sniffing the urine. And again, using the kind of mass spectrometer technologies, we can actually find marker compounds and potentially translate them into things like either portable mass specs or electronic noses. So again, it's all about one, finding marker compounds, and then two, finding a technology which allows that those markers to be out where it's needed most, with the patient, basically giving the person the point of care analysis.
Oh, it's a fantastic crossover of technology and knowledge, and we wish you all the best for both projects.
Okay, thank you very much.